So, hello and welcome to today's LibreOffice talk at the Grazer Linux Tage in 2021. This talk is held by Mike Saunders. We just heard a few minutes ago in session two, there was a talk about Collabor Online just ended. And since that's somewhat related to LibreOffice, I'm sure we have some people coming over from there. So welcome to those as well. LibreOffice just got its 7.1 release, or I guess in February, and 7.2 is not too far ahead. And today we have Mike Saunders, the marketing and community coordinator for the Document Foundation, who will introduce us to all the changes, what's new, and how we can help with 7.2. So welcome to you. And if there's any questions to be asked, please put them in the IRC chat. I'll collect them during the talk, and then afterwards, after the talk is over, I'll forward them to Mike Saunders for a quick Q&A. Thank you. Go ahead, Mike.
Great. Thanks a lot for the introduction. Yes, and it's great to be here. Of course, everything's online at the moment. I actually live in Munich, so I'm not a million miles away from Graz, and I would like to visit the city one day. Hopefully that's on my list, maybe for next year's event as well. But yeah, today in this talk, 20-minute kind of talk, I'm not going to explain a lot about LibreOffice. Pretty much everybody who uses Linux and free software knows what LibreOffice is, so I don't need to introduce it so much. But I want to talk a little bit about the background of what the Document Foundation does, the small nonprofit behind it, and then look at some of the features and how people can get involved as well. So just a little bit about me. I've been involved in free and open source software for many, many years. I worked for one of the first Linux magazines in the United Kingdom back in 1998, I think that was, very early days when we had Red Hat 5.2 on DVDs on the front of the magazine. Those were, I remember recompiling my kernel to get sound support. But anyway, and I wrote a small operating system, DOS-like operating system there, MicOS, which looking back was a bit of an egotistical name, but whatever. And yeah, today I work for the Document Foundation, the nonprofit behind LibreOffice with base in Germany. So everybody watching this knows that LibreOffice is an office suite. Probably the vast majority of people use it, or at least occasionally. So I don't have to explain everything about it, but it's important to know that we in the LibreOffice project don't just look at it as an office suite, but also a worldwide community as well. It's great having lots of users. We estimate possibly 200 million users of LibreOffice around the world. That's fantastic, but it doesn't mean so much unless we have a community of people behind it as well, people contributing. So we say the project and the product are just as important. Lots of users is great, but without contributors, without a strong community behind it, it's just some nice software. So the project and community is important. And then, as mentioned, behind it, kind of at the core, we have the Document Foundation, this legal entity, Stiftung, as the German speakers will know. Based in Berlin, there's a lot of historical connections between LibreOffice and OpenOffice and StarOffice to Hamburg, especially, and Germany as well. But you notice that the Document Foundation isn't the LibreOffice Foundation. That's because there are a few other projects involved as well, such as Document Liberation, a set of libraries to import and export documents, and maybe in the future we'll work on other things as well, but LibreOffice is our main focal point at the moment as well. So yeah, we are the Document Foundation is not a software house. We don't just sit there hacking code every day. We are there as a gemeinnützige, public use foundation to make LibreOffice development happen. So we support all the projects around it as well. We make sure we're independent from a single sponsor. We have rules in our statutes for all this as well. We have an ecosystem of developers around commercial companies working on it, like in the GNU Linux world and many other things in free software, different companies contributing and working on things for their customers. And yeah, we work with other entities as well, open source free software projects as well, standards organizations as well. So yeah, we are the community. We like to work together, build interest and excitement as well, motivate each other, coordinate things. But as with many free software projects, doers decide. We don't set up a very big roadmap and say in 5 years we're going to do X, Y, and Z, because if nobody steps up to do it, then the roadmap looks a bit sad. So we always say, if you've got an idea for a feature, or you know, if you really want something, help us to make it happen. And you don't need to be a programmer in many cases, as I'll demonstrate a bit later. There are many, many ways to get involved with LibreOffice. Many people contribute a lot without needing to know a lot of C++. So, quick overview of the foundation as well. Here's a diagram showing the different bodies inside. I won't go through them all, but there's a lot of like separation of powers here as well, and things to keep everything in check. So we have the main thing here is the board of trustees, the members of the Document Foundation. So around 220 at the moment. This is anybody who's involved in the LibreOffice project and community, anybody who contributes to LibreOffice in the form of code or documentation, design, marketing, many localization. Anyone who shows some commitment to the LibreOffice project can apply to become a member, and then they can elect the board of directors who works with the membership committee and all of these different bodies as well. So contributors to LibreOffice have to have this power as well to steer the project, because they vote in the board of directors, who are the foundation's legal representatives, who then make long-term strategic decisions about the foundation as well. Not so much, oh, LibreOffice should do X, Y, and Z, but where are we going? What's our goal in 5 years? How do we make our foundation and the community stronger? And then we have an advisory board over here as well. It's not officially a formal part of the Document Foundation, but this is companies and projects like KDE GNOME, Free Software Foundation Europe, Red Hat, who are involved or have strong ties with LibreOffice as well. And they give us advice. Every few months we get together online and we talk, you know, what can we learn from other projects as well? What are people talking about at the moment? How can we make ourselves even stronger? The team at the Document Foundation, so the paid staff, there's only 11 of us, 10 are pictured here, and we have an administrative assistant as well, and there I am. So yeah, we are not a huge corporation. We are actually smaller than a lot of people think. So yeah, 11 people spread around various places. Some of us are in Germany, but Olivia here is in Portugal as well, in Brazil. I'm thinking of Brazilian Portuguese. He's in Brazil working on the documentation, and Ilmari is in Finland as well. Sophie's in France. Guillem's in Sweden, looking after infrastructure. So we're all geeks to some extent. We can all do some programming, but as mentioned, we're not a software house. We don't just wake up in the morning and go, oh, let's work on feature X, Y, Z. We are there to make things happen. So like here, Cloth, Christian, he is our release engineer. So he's paid to make sure that we always have releases being built of LibreOffice and, you know, alpha, beta versions, so that there's always new versions to test as well, and so that more people can get involved. similar here as well, Heiko, our UX guy, our design guy, is overseeing a community of people working on different design aspects of LibreOffice as well. So we try to make sure all of these different sub-projects, documentation, localization, marketing, they're all looked after, they're all maintained, to try and bring in as many people as possible to then do a lot of the work that we need to spread LibreOffice around the globe. Because just the 10 of us, we can't do a huge amount on our own. So super quick history of where this all came from. LibreOffice started in 2010, of course, as a successor project to OpenOffice.org at the time. And then the Document Foundation was fully established in 2012. So you can see here a timeline of where LibreOffice came from. So there was OpenOffice.org, if you remember, back in the early 2000s as well. And then the GoOO branch which many Linux distributions were using because it had certain patches in and build improvements. Some of them worked their way back into OpenOffice, some didn't. And then there was Oracle when Oracle bought it, and then Apache OpenOffice continued. Their last major release was in 2014, and it's still occasionally patched, but almost all development since then has been on LibreOffice instead. LibreOffice has been the most actively developed successor to the old OpenOffice branch. So what are we working on? So the latest release, as we just mentioned at the start, is LibreOffice 7.1 as well. So we make new releases every 6 months. We use time-based release schedules with a little bit of flexibility, of course, but we make sure every 6 months we get a new major version out with new features that have been tested by the community as well. So LibreOffice 7.1 had a huge bunch of updates with focus on performance and compatibility and usability too. I'll show some of these features in a moment. Companies around the ecosystem contributed many of these, and I'll also talk about that soon a bit more as well. And we are working on the next release now, 7.2, which should arrive in August, so in 4 months from now. So, but we maintain two stable branches of LibreOffice, so currently 7.0 and 7.1. And this gives people a bit of time, a bit of overlap. So when 7.1, when it was very new, if some people are thinking, well, I don't want to upgrade just yet, I want it to be tested a bit more, people can still stay with 7.0 for a few releases and then jump over to 7.1. Many free software projects do this anyway. I think like Debian maintains an old stable release for a while to let people jump over to a newer one. So LibreOffice 7.1, yeah, lots of features implemented by developers in the ecosystem and volunteers as well, like this style inspector. LibreOffice, as many people probably know, is very, very heavily focused around styles. We try to discourage people from just, you know, pressing space to move words around or highlighting things and clicking bold, because then you just have arbitrary styling everywhere. But to actually use the style system in LibreOffice for consistency across documents, once you start using that, it's really, really powerful, and it can make beautiful documents that are much easier to work with. So this style inspector was added, so you can get a style and you can look at all the individual bits and pieces of it, all these I don't want to say minuscule parameters or options, because everything can be important, but it's very useful for spotting exactly what's inside a document. For input fields as well, you can now switch between the output and the commands, so you can look at the plumbing underneath to see what a command does. Soft blurred shadows were added in 7.1. Some people might say that was a long time coming, but these are the old style, very, very open office type of drop shadows. And now we have these nice new blurred ones as well. So it's small, but for presentations, this is a nice improvement. Physics-based animations were added as well. So this is static here. I tried to include a GIF, but obviously I'm not technical enough. So when you're making a presentation now, you can define objects and then choose an effect so that they all bounce around off each other, which looks cool. I'm sure there are some practical uses for it as well, but main thing is it looks really cool. So. LibreOffice has a lot of extensions available. There's always that discussion, what should be in the core program, you know, that's shipped from LibreOffice.org, and what should be made available as an extension. Those are always ongoing discussions. Community members have been working on an extensions manager to make it easier to browse extensions. So here is one, actually, auf Deutsch. But showing, so you can see a nice screenshot there of what the extension does. we want to encourage people to implement features in extensions, because that can be easier to do than to dive into the millions of lines of LibreOffice source code. So that's something else community's been working on. And brand new in LibreOffice 7.1. On first start for fresh installations is this user interface picker. So this lets you choose between various user interface options, different designs, such as the notebook bar here. So this was something introduced a couple of years ago in LibreOffice 6.2, an alternative user interface design that's not the standard. So for anybody who likes the traditional toolbars and menus, don't worry, that's not going away. But some people want more of a contextual, grouped, tabbed interface. So we've been working on that, including a guy in Vienna has been working in his spare time on the notebook bar. So big thanks to him for all that as well. LibreOffice Online, being developed hugely by Collabora, who, as we mentioned, Gabe was giving a talk before. So this is LibreOffice running in a web browser as well. Collabora is really driving this on and making it really, really usable and faster and smoother all the time. So you can link this together with Nextcloud, OwnCloud, file sharing system, and have a full cloud solution. I mentioned the ecosystem before. So these are the companies, just some of the companies contributing to LibreOffice development. So 70% of the code commits. So when you look at a lot of the new features in LibreOffice on the release notes page, you see that many of them, the majority of them, are being developed by developers in these companies. So you know, this is super important. LibreOffice is and will always remain free and open source software, absolutely. But we should always think about the contributors as well, whether they're independent or companies trying to put bread on the table at the end of the day, but who are working hard to put bring new features to the software as well. And so we've also set up a certification program. So developers, people working on LibreOffice can say, right, I want certification. I want to show that I can do this, and then hopefully get some more work as well. So enough about that. What I really want to focus on here is what can people do for LibreOffice? What can end users do? Not just be end users, but actually get involved. So we have a website for this. It's actually based on an idea used in, I think, Fedora, the Fedora project. So a website, what can I do? What can you do for LibreOffice.org? And so here it shows a different selection of topics. So maybe you're interested in user interface design or user experience, and then you can click to find out more, or you can say, nope, I want to learn about something else. So we try to make it easy for people to get involved, or at least reduce the obstacles. So there are many, many ways to get involved. I'm not going to read all of these out, but way more than just programming. Like in many free software projects, translations are super important. LibreOffice is available in over 120 languages, I think, which is amazing. And that's almost entirely thanks to volunteers around the world. But we have marketing groups. People can help other users as well, providing support. People can help out with our infrastructure, running mirror services, documentation, helping to organize events or taking part in online events like today. So there are many, many, many ways to get involved. And we love it when people come to us and give us a hand as well, because it's not just good for LibreOffice or free software projects when people get involved, but they also benefit as well. You can build up skills, get experience as well that may be useful in a future career. So if you think, well, you know, especially in Corona times, I'm looking to change career. I'd really like to get into user interface design or technical writing or something. Then join one of our projects, have your say, do some things. That gets into one of the biggest and best known free software projects that gets out to millions and millions of users. And then that's a nice thing to put on your CV and say, yeah, I did this in LibreOffice. I contributed to a well-known free software project. And then we at the Document Foundation can also say, yeah, you did that as well. So we have lots of communication channels as well. We try to simplify these so that there aren't so many. Some people prefer mailing lists. I still like mailing lists a lot. It's a slow way to go through things, but some people want live discussion, IRC, Telegram, etc. as well. We have our different sub-projects have various calls. So QA community has a call every week, documentation community, so people can get together and talk a bit instead of just ever being text on a mailing list. So yeah, we'd also hope to see people at events in the future. Real life events would be good, hopefully, possibly not this year now. But every year we have a conference. This is the LibreOffice conference in Brno, or Brun, a few years ago as well. This was the German-speaking LibreOffice community last year up in Linux Hotel in Essen. So a bunch of people got together there as well. Some people from our Albanian community who work on translations and work on the what can I do for LibreOffice site that I mentioned. Brazilian community there having meetups. A localization sprint in Nepal a few years ago. They did amazing work, just set it up on their own. We're always happy to help and support where we can, but they said we want LibreOffice in Nepalese, so they did the work. And this was our last in-person conference in Almeria in southern Spain in 2019. I was going to say last year, but last year doesn't exist, does it? So that was, yeah, our last big get-together. But hopefully this year we will we'll definitely have a virtual conference if we can't have a real one. It's hard to say just yet. It doesn't look great given the current situation. But of course we'll keep people informed on our blog and other places as well. So I think that's my 20 minutes. There's some contact details for me as well, so you can always reach me. Anybody who has feedback or ideas for LibreOffice or wants to get involved, we are always available. That's what we're here to do as well. So again, I'm not sitting around programming every day. I'm trying to reach out to people and get more people involved. So I think that was 22 minutes, but I think so. I'm a tiny bit over, but if there's no rush, then we can take some questions.
Thank you very much for that interesting talk. You can count those 2 minutes off me for my introduction. I'm sure that took some time as well. If there's any questions, please leave them to us in the IRC. I'm going to catch up a little bit. There wasn't too much. One of the questions you got was the board of directors you mentioned at the beginning. Is the board of directors in any way involved in technical decisions too, or is it only like organizational decisions?
That's a very good question. Yeah, some of the people on the board of directors are also in the engineering steering committee, or the ESC, which is not an official Document Foundation body, but is a group of, I think, 15 to 20 core programmers who meet every week to make the main technical decisions for LibreOffice. You know, what features are being worked on, or what should we include in the next release, what desperately needs to be fixed. So there is a lot of overlap there as well. The board of directors, yeah, there are always some technical decisions to make. Like we issue tenders for things as well, where we say, okay, we have a bit of money to improve a certain thing in LibreOffice, and we as the Document Foundation can then put a tender out to pay someone or a company to then implement that feature. And the board of directors is of course involved in this process. So that can involve technical things, but the board of directors' main job is to oversee the foundation, make sure that we're running smoothly, not going down some random alley, that we're well prepared for the future with financing as well. We're mostly supported by donations. So there are some technical decisions, but most of the big technical work is done in this engineering steering committee, this weekly meetup group.
Thank you for the answer. One person didn't specifically ask a question, but they said that they like LibreOffice a lot, but they feel a bit alone because many of the friends and clients won't switch because, in their opinion, it misses the Outlook alternative. So the question here is, like, would this be something that's in scope, or is it totally out of scope? Does it just need an implementer, or is that?
That's, we get this question a lot as well, actually. Yeah, when will LibreOffice have an email client? And the thing is, and I'm more speaking just for myself here, but I think it would be quite cool to have an email client in LibreOffice, but we are a community project with very limited resources. So this topic comes up from time to time, but when you think about how many really good free and open source software email clients there are out there, it would arguably not be the best use of resources if we switch development away from core Office software to adding an email client. Now, again, this is more me speaking rather than an official statement of the Document Foundation, but I think it would be pretty cool if we could take a lightweight email client, free and open source software, lightweight email client, and you know, really tie it into LibreOffice so that you can just send something by email very quickly. But so maybe one day that will be possible. But at the moment, as mentioned, with pretty limited resources, what we're doing, I think it's best to focus on making the best Office suite possible, and then working together with good free and open source software email clients.
Right. I guess that comes back to your statement that if it's needs implementing, someone needs to implement it, more or less. So I guess if someone comes along and implements it for you, you're not going to immediately reject it, at least. So.
Well, absolutely, yeah. That would be then a decision for this engineering steering committee as well. Yeah. But if someone was like, look, there's this free and open source software email client that's really, really good, and I think I can link it, bring it into the LibreOffice source code base, then, yeah, personally, I think that would be pretty good. There'd have to be a lot of decisions about that, but it's not something that we just rule out and say never, ever.
Well, thank you a lot for your very educational talk. Very interesting piece of software. I'm sure we'll hear more of it in the future.
I see one question in IRC. How can I save the window size and zoom factor at startup? I'm not sure about that.
Yes.
Yeah, but that seems to be applying to base. So because I'm sure the window size is saved in other components as well. But if it's being saved in Writer and Calc but not in base, that may be a bug. So Toby asked, do you have a conference app in place for the LibreOffice conference?
Oh, yeah.
And Toby there shares a link. So thanks for that. In the last conference, the last online conference, we did it together with OpenSUSE and used their tooling and also Jitsi to deliver the, Abadobi says, I am the maintainer. So I'm going to have a look at that after the talk. So thanks for that, Toby. I'll take a look. That's cool. Yeah, again, looking like the conference will be online. There's nothing official yet, but you know, given the situation, I don't want to promise any real life events. I'll have a look at that. So thanks, Toby.
Yeah, that's great. That's a Linux target being used for opening new paths forward for online conferences.
Brilliant, hey, yeah, teamwork.
Perfect, that's all what the open source collaboration is about, right? Okay, so I guess maybe another 30 seconds or so if there's any questions. Otherwise, I'm going to introduce the next talks real quick. Right now ongoing, but only for like 50 minutes. So I'm sure there's a lot of interesting stuff over there still happening. There's two German talks, Zwei-Faktor an für einen sicheren Server. So that's about two-factor authentication. And there's another one about eGroupware, about news in version 21.2. In this session, in session 3, there's in about 50 minutes, there's a talk about Flux, about making fonts smarter. I already saw Simon join the RSC chat, so I'm sure this is also going to be a very interesting talk. There's no more questions, so thank you very much for being here.
Thanks a lot. Hopefully see you in Graz for real next year.
Well,